The Capital Ideas podcast now features a series hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover what differentiates their investment approach, what learnings have shifted their career trajectories, and how do they find their next great idea? Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
A well-being book for first to third years has been causing outrage in certain quarters, as in one chapter it features two families. The Irish family have red hair, wear Aran jumpers, or in the case of the daughter, an Irish dancing dress, and are said to eat potatoes, bacon and cabbage every day, hate change and difference, and the children of the family are told that if they mix with people of a different race or religion, they will be a bad influence. On the other hand, there is a mixed race family who like to eat pizza, curry, love difference and change, love to travel and visit art galleries. So love to hear from you. What do you think? Is it simply a starting point in the classroom to encourage conversation, or are you in the outraged camp? Do get in touch. I have Emer on the line in Dublin. What are your thoughts on this?
Hello, Claire. How are you? My thoughts on this are, I was really pretty disgusted when I saw it. My son is just going into second year. And last year, last August, we bought all the books, and I knew the new SPHE curriculum was in place, and I knew this was new books. So I was interested to see what was in this junior cycle book from Edco, was the one my son's school was using. So I had a look through it. There was various bits on it, and I sent feedback back to Edco last year, actually, on it. But on page 64, there was this page of a caricature, an extreme caricature of an Irish family, with this insidious idea that there was something wrong with these people, that there was, look at them, they're wearing Irish jumpers and they're doing Irish dancing and they live in a thatched cottage and, you know, how backward they are. It was all a negative portrayal of an absolute caricature of an Irish family. And then it was compared on page 65 with this lovely, broad-minded, open-minded family that travel and eat pizza and curry, and aren't they wonderful? And so much better than this other, you know, backward Irish family. I just thought, oh my God, what sort of message is that sending to children? 5 minutes ago, we were supposed to be, you know, proud of our culture, and all the kids play GAA, and Cultus Kiltori is fabulous. I learned how to knit Aran sweaters, my mother taught me. But now this is all bad and awful things. And no, you have to be wearing saris and eating pizza, and that's the only good way to be. Instead of what is normal now, Irish families do Irish things and they also do pizza. After your GAA match, the kids get brought to Supermax and they have pizza. You know, this is just, I thought it was ridiculous, really.
Yeah, and I mean, the mixed race family could be just as Irish as the red-headed family standing outside a thatched cottage. And I thought that was the sort of world that we were moving into and accepting. I mean, Emer, I'm slightly intimidated that you took the time to look through your kids' school books. I mean, I just thought, oh, great, it's a well-being book, and threw it up on the shelf. So kudos to you. Did you use it as a conversation starter with your child, perhaps?
I did indeed. I showed it to him and I said, what do you think of this? And I discussed what I thought about it. And I said, you know, your granny knitted Aran sweaters and that's what I knit. And he loves me knitting things for him. You know, we'd love to be able to afford to go for our holidays to a lovely thatched cottage down in Adair or somewhere in Wexford. But they're really expensive and highly sought after. But I talked about how, you know, his grandmother grew up in Dublin and got the steam train down to Carlow for her holidays to her granny's. You know, that's not so long ago that everything was much more local, small Irish family, and that shouldn't be denigrated. That should be celebrated, that is part of our history. And the whole thing about food, eating bacon and cabbage is awful and a terrible thing and you have to eat pizza. On the next chapter, they're talking about climate change and don't be travelling too far and eat local food, eat sustainable. you know, grow some vegetables, grow some herbs in your garden. Isn't that great? But on this page, it's, oh, that's bad if you're eating local food because, you know, that's Irish and terrible.
That kind of feels a bit like modern life these days, Emers. Will you stay on the line for me? Because I want to bring Sandra in, and there's a lot of people getting in touch about this one. Sandra, you think people are too quick to get offended with things like this?
I do, really. Like, the whole point in SPHE is to, you know, teach self-awareness and, you know, topics of discussion. And I do, like, Family A is stereotyped, but it's not a million miles away from some families, certainly in the near past. And nobody is saying that there, well, any of the elements are bad or wrong or, you know, should be frowned upon, but that, you know, as an island, we should be open to other ways of life, you know, other types of people. And nobody is trying to insult Irishness or what is perceived as Irishness. I think we should just be able to, we should be a bit more relaxed and be able to laugh at ourselves and, you know, look at things from with an open mind. Well, that's my viewpoint. I don't know how anybody would be offended by that.
Well, if people listening want to check out the picture, because, you know, it might be hard to imagine, although I think we've kind of described it well several times, you can go to the Lunchtime Live X page or Twitter page. We are at Lunchtime Live NT, and the picture of both families is up there, and you can decide for yourself. And Sandra, I did wonder that as well. I mean, in a classroom setting, there is an opportunity for a teacher to begin discussion around this being quite a stereotypical depiction of an Irish family, that obviously not all Irish families are necessarily like this, and the mixed race family could easily be Irish as well. Is that the point of it, perhaps? But it does seem like it comes with a lot of negatives. The thing that really jumped out to me was the idea that they didn't like change or difference, and that mixing with people from different religions would be a bad influence. I mean, that kind of pulled down the bacon, cabbage and potatoes and the traditional way of life, I felt.
Well, yeah, I suppose they're two different things, really. The bacon and cabbage is kind of silly, really, I you know, because that's not typical, really, of anybody now, well, so much as a daily event. But the idea of being afraid of other culture is quite a thing still. And the perceived offence is mixing up the traditional Irish culture kind of practices with people who are afraid of other cultures. But, you know, there is a fact in that as well.
Okay, and Sandra, thank you for that. Let me go back to Emer. Emer, what do you think about that? And I'm sure Sandra represents lots of people listening who say, come on, this is ridiculous. There's plenty of truth in what's being said there. And this can be the conversation starter that you had with your child.
Well, that is a very good point. It certainly was a conversation starter, and it got me to talk to my son an awful lot more about what our culture is and what I grew up with. I grew up every Sunday going up on the Dublin Mountains cutting turf, because that was our fuel. It wasn't that long ago. We didn't have, it was before natural gas. These are parts of our lives. So yes, it was really good. It got me to talk about my grandfather with a horse and plough down in County Carlo, ploughing the fields. I milked a cow when I was a child, when I began my granny's farm. So, yeah, it got me to talk about it an awful lot more. That was great. I was delighted to have that opportunity. But I do still think that it was badly put in the book. There was an absolute message that all this was bad and the other family was good. So I'd be delighted if the SPHE teacher did start a conversation in the class, and if that's what comes out of it, great. But I was very unhappy with how the Irish part of it was portrayed as negative and bad. That there wasn't a message in the page afterwards saying, oh, look, this is just a caricature and maybe have a discussion about it. It was just boldly put, all this Irish stuff, bad, negative, insular. These people do not want change. The other family were good. They want to change. Like, I had curry for my breakfast because it was left over from last night. But I knit an Irish and Aran sweater at the same time, you know. So I'm not small-minded in that way. We've just been to Copenhagen for our holidays. But in the book, it was definitely a negative aspect put on all the Irish stuff. And the other stuff was good and great and different.
And so, fun, you know, and exciting. I hear you. Thank you very much for coming on, Emer. And a lot of people are asking this kind of question. The discussion needs context, says one. Are the pictures meant to show how stereotypes are damaging? How would the teacher use this material? Well, let's go to Dee. Dee is on the line in Kerry. Dee, you used to teach the SPHE curriculum. So what are your thoughts on this and how it might be used in the classroom?
Hi, Claire. I taught it actually in junior cycle, not in junior cycle, in primary cycle. So it's slightly different. But I think Emer made a lot of points there. And what a wonderful discussion that she got going with her young folks, you know, about, you know, how she was, her culture and all the rest of it. And I think maybe that's what it is. It's a starting point, Duke. And I think we underestimate how erudite our young folks are. And, you know, I mean, you know, that conversation will start and they will, you know, go through that. And nobody has to say, oh, actually, this is just a caricature. I mean, that, you know, it's how it's used in the classroom. And maybe it is a bit, you know, maybe it is slightly maybe overstated and a bit stereotypical and stuff like that. But, you know, young people are very quick to see things like that. And, you know, it starts a conversation. And, you know, and maybe there are some families that are very, you know, reticent about, you know, letting folks in and all the rest of it to the country. I mean, we see what goes on, you know. So it is worth starting a conversation, I think. However, maybe they could have, the Department of Education and Science could have thought it out a bit better. It is a bit stereotypical looking at the picture. My God, you know, you're kind of going, really?
Yeah, I mean, somebody has said here by text, are the mixed race family also Irish? And yeah, I mean, I don't think that's necessarily been called into question. It's just the idea that even if they are another Irish family, because they're mixed race, there seem to be a lot more positive attributes towards them, including their affinity to change and difference. I think that was kind of the major bugbear for me anyway. That was the main thing that jumped out. I could see it that perhaps, because I have a 13-year-old son and I don't think he understands the concept of stereotype, or that we've got very deep on discussions of culture and mixed race and tradition here in Ireland. So, you know, I'd be happy to think of him having these sort of conversations in a classroom. And, you know, maybe it is something that we should talk about a little bit more at home. Thank you very much for coming on. Somebody says, cop on, News Talk, as the first caller says, it's a caricature. The extract or piece in question is very obviously designed to fulfill a person. Ed says, is this ludicrous book available to view online or to purchase somewhere? I'd love to see it. Ed, we have it up on our X or Twitter page. We're at Lunchtime Live NT, so you can decide for yourself. John in Dublin 22 said, that graphic illustration is like something out of the British Punch magazine. Whoever put it together should be ashamed of themselves, as should those who published it without seeing the fault in it. Well, I want to bring in Helen Deignan, who is BlackRock Aintu representative. Helen, you're not happy with this being included in the SPHE junior textbooks.
I'm not happy at all, Claire. I think I agree with a few of your callers there, Emer especially. It's insidious. I mean, for your callers who say, oh, it's just it is a caricature and it's a stereotype and it'll start a discussion, it's much more than that, because it co-teams notions of Irishness with notions of being insular and bigoted. And it asks the children, this is very important, it says, when you listen to the description, whether it's read out or they're reading it themselves, close their eyes and imagine what it's like to be a member of Family A. And then close your eyes and imagine what it's like to be a member of jet-setting, cosmopolitan, sophisticated Family B. This is extraordinary, because this is actually, it's almost like a form of brainwashing to get children to reject their own culture in favour of, you know, this multicultural jet-setting family. Now, we have loads of opportunities in schools, and indeed it's correct in SPHE and throughout other subjects, to teach about pluralism, diversity, and of course anti-racism. But this is something else entirely. Family Bee is embracing other cultures. Indeed, the depiction of the daughter, she's wearing a ridiculously stereotypical French outfit of a beret and a striped top. So she's allowed celebrate, and she loves France, and she's allowed celebrate France and French culture. But you're not allowed to love and celebrate Irish culture. And the Irish, as anyone will see on your Twitter page, just depicted as gum men in iron sweaters. And it's absolutely outrageous. And as Patrick O'Bean said today, it depicts a self-loathing that you'd have to question where it comes from. And I'd really like to put this in. Someone mentioned their context, and the context is very important. This is not just an isolated one page in a book. It occurs within a context where the removal of the reference to develop a sense of Irish identity has now been removed completely from the primary curriculum. And that was put into the curriculum by Micheál Martin back in 1999. So he's now involved in, or certainly has knowledge that that has been removed. That's a very important context. And we also must remember that white Irish privilege was proposed to enter the SBHA senior cycle curriculum last year in the draft published in July 2023, where white privilege, critical race theory, was a learning outcome. So if you put all those together and put this story in the context, it becomes very strange.
Yeah.
And I think questions need to be answered. Who oversaw this? Did Norma Foley, this is Norma Foley's job, she must have seen it. The Department of Education must have approved this. And we need to know what the process is. And we need to know that it won't happen again. And I would call for the withdrawal of this book immediately.
Well, I'm sure she's seen it now as things are kicking off over it. And I think we need to be very careful as well. I mean, people are entitled to their opinion. If they think the uproar is outrageous in itself, then that is up to them. But this kind of mentality that we have, it's only a picture. We forget how insidious things like that can be. I certainly noticed as a parent of children, I became a bit more aware of what's represented in cartoons, for example, or if you stick on a film from the 80s that might even sometimes be a family movie, you'll see misogyny is alive and well within it. I certainly noticed in kids' cartoons there was a lot of fat phobia. If somebody carried weight, they were often the stupid person. There were a lot of gender issues. So these sort of things that seem to just wash over children are actually sending a message. And I do think you need to take that on board and really question that a little bit sometimes. And if we don't bring up things like that, then there won't be any change. We actually have a statement here from the Educational Company of Ireland. They say, firstly, we would like to say that we welcome the public's interest in this issue and the whole area of SPHG. By means of background and context, the main function of this activity, Looking at Difference, is designed to help students understand the importance of diversity in our lives, to introduce students to the Equal Status Acts and to highlight the types of discrimination they cover. Following the students' introduction to the Equal Status Acts, the activity uses exaggeration and hyperbole to convey the nature and effects of inclusion and bias. On closer inspection, we now appreciate that our approach should have been different and accept that it has caused upset and anger, even though this was not our intention. We have taken the decision to replace this activity and we apologise for any cause hurt. Well, we have Diana on the line. Diana, why did you get in touch?
Hi there. I was just listening to the response to the book, and I'm disappointed that the publishers aren't standing by what they've said. I'm Irish, but I have a mixed heritage family, and you know, truth be told, we do travel a lot. I work in art; we do go to a lot of galleries, and you know, I think we'd be quite typical of that family. I haven't seen the image, but the described family, and I do sometimes come across people who live their lives around the GAA. And I mean, we've had kids, when my son was in primary school, we had kids who'd never had pizza. And I have no problem whatsoever with that. And, you know, the kids who never had pizza, probably, truthfully, are probably healthier than my own, you know, their family did like traditional food. And I think as a country, we are exceptionally defensive There's nothing wrong with not eating pizza, and there's nothing wrong with eating pizza, and there's nothing wrong with going to the GAA and running around the field hitting a ball, and there's nothing wrong with going to an art gallery. And it, I think as a nation, we are exceptionally defensive. And, you know, if this has opened a conversation across the country, isn't it a conversation our kids should be having in their schools? You know, having a mixed race, mixed heritage child who's got big brown eyes and a beautiful big nose and gorgeous sallow skin, he has endured passive racism, not just from kids, but from teachers who don't really understand, you know, xenophobia, or have never even heard the word xenophobia, and, you know, and our racism. You know, he has friends who are, you know, mixed heritage, Indian, various, you know, Asian, various other, from various other backgrounds. And kids would say some things like, oh, your food stinks or something. Oh, that's really smelly. When these kids would be coming in with absolutely gorgeous curries that I would kill for, you know. And maybe the conversation does have to be had that, you know, it's great to go to the GAA, but it's also great to eat a curry. And you can go to the GAA and eat a curry. And I, you know, we seem to be so protective of this life of cutting turf and living in thatched cottages as though it's sacred. The truth is, most of us don't live that life anymore because we as a culture have evolved. And that's what cultures do. Cultures evolve. You know, we were 800 years ago, you know, we were a very basic culture. Then we were colonized and we adopted a lot of the British culture, you know, and really, was that such a bad thing? You know, in fact, it was a culture we aspired to.
But and Diana, again, I like country, yeah. You're as much of an Irish family as the redhead standing outside a thatched cottage. And that's what I would like to see represented, that there can be a mix. Yes, of course, there are people that haven't eaten pizza before. But on the other hand, you can mix the two. It was very much pigeonholing into this is the Irish way. It's steeped in tradition. And this is the mixed race family. And they're up and out and traveling the world. Whereas you could leave your thatched cottage, put down your Aran sweater knitting and head off on a flight to Copenhagen as well. Is that not the sort of melting pot that we are looking to live within and that we're looking for our kids to accept as the norm?
Absolutely. But the conversations have to be had. That's what I'm saying. I am as much an Irish family. I was born and raised here from generations of Irish people. I was, you know, my father was a Gaelgor, but my child speaks Greek and French, you know, as, you know, his primary language is with English, you know. And there's many, many times that he's been told he's not Irish. In fact, he's only 20, and I can remember being told, oh, you have a beautiful half-caste baby.
And the offensive question of where are you really from and all of that. Diana, thank you. I do hear what you're saying. And having the conversation is important, which is ultimately, of course, what we are trying to have here on Lunchtime Live. You can get in touch yourself. You can email us lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on Newstalk.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas podcast. Investment professionals reveal how they find their next great idea, what gives them their investment edge, and a few personal stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Capital Client Group, Inc.